In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Orthodox Christians in America, we would like to be able to reveal our faith to those around us. There is a glory to the life that we have been given to share with God, that it is our calling to make apparent to those around us. But St. Gregory Palamas, when he was speaking to his people in the city of Thessalonica 8 centuries ago, told them that while it is important for us to shine forth with the brilliance of Christ God, it is also important that that brilliance, that light, not come from a gold plating that covers up base metal inside. You remember that Jesus accused the Pharisees of going across the waters in long distances to make converts, but while they were looking like they were white and pure, they really were only whitewashed tombs with all kinds of unspeakable corruption inside. To be like that is not what it means to be a Christian. We are meant to shine forth as pure and solid gold, the gold of Christ himself, who has united himself to our humanity by his birth in this world, so that we might unite ourselves to him and be pure and holy and solid with his holiness, his goodness, not our own. If the goodness that we try to shine forth toward others is actually something that belongs to us, then certainly it is not of Christ. It is only a beautiful, thin, false plating. He emptied himself of his high place. When he came into this world, he emptied himself with divine humility to take on our humanity. And the only way that we can unite ourselves to him through that humanity that he took on is to empty ourselves of pride, vanity, and the desire to shine forth from ourselves. Not because we have emptied ourselves of all of our passions and desire to shine forth unto others, as though it were we who were the pure ones. We have to empty ourselves of all of that and assume a humility like his. All of that vanity, all of that falseness, it has to die. And then after we have done that, after we have sacrificed that falseness and that corruption and that desire to copy the enemy of God instead of God, after that, then we are called to remain loyal and faithful to this life that we have been given. Maintaining, keeping that loyalty is what Elder Paisios would call philotimo. That's how we get it. By emptying ourselves of the base metal of our passions and desires and uniting ourselves to the purity and the goodness and the holiness of Christ in a humility like his divine humility. In the time of St. Gregory Palamas, he spoke the sermon that I have in my mind and my heart today. He spoke it just a few days before the celebration of the Nativity of Christ, just as we are today. And in his time, communion was not weekly, not on the part of those who were not making supreme spiritual effort, at least in monasteries. There were monks and nuns who communed weekly, even daily. But for most people, communion was not so regular as that. But everyone, just about all Christians, as St. Gregory says in his sermon, would come to communion in celebration of the birth of Christ. And so the sermon that he gives warns those who come. They must prepare by confession. And he explains what confession is. And it is not a message that is irrelevant to us because we are coming regularly. But let's look at what he says about it. How does he describe it? Is it something that we can do and make ourselves worthy by following the rule that you have to go a certain number of times? If you go really regularly, then maybe you're in good shape to come to the chalice and receive. That isn't how he understands things, and it applies both to his people and to us today. He compares confession to the way a farmer will plow up a field and plow deep in order to cut up all of the roots of the weeds, the plants that can sap the life and destroy the harvest from the seed that is going to be planted by the Word of God. Confession has got to plow deep and cut up all of those sins, those roots of sin, so that the roots can be cast aside out of the garden. And then you are prepared to receive the Word of God. And after hearing the Word of God, come to the chalice and receive the life that is Christ's own life. That isn't how we come to confession. We don't cast aside our sins. We simply confess that we have done something and ask for God's forgiveness. The kind of preparation for communion that St. Gregory was recommending, demanding from his people, is the same kind of confession that we ought to be making regularly. If we are making regular confession, then we ought to be making regular, intense, and deep spiritual effort. Otherwise, why are we coming? St. Mary of Egypt, how often did she go to confession, to communion? And yet her whole life was a preparation for that communion. She spent every day, year after year, decade after decade, rooting out and casting off every one of her sins, doing spiritual battle, and then finally received Holy Communion. We have a 40-day preparation for receiving the body and blood of Christ on the day of his nativity, the day that we celebrate his birth into this world, so that by emptying himself, he might make it possible for us to empty ourselves and unite ourselves to him. We empty ourselves by way of this confession. We accept the path of humility. We accept to be changed by God. In a secular world like ours, it seems as though the goal is to remain as we are and add certain things to ourselves. How do I get this? How do I get that? How do I add it to the person that I already am? It is not possible to be a Christian in that kind of way. St. Gregory mentions the difference between the way we can unite ourselves to one another and marriage on the one hand, and the way we unite ourselves to God at the chalice after confession on the other hand. He says that when a man and a woman become one flesh, they do not become one spirit. And that is the mystery of marriage and the joy of marriage. We love and celebrate the spirit of another person. The spirit of that person never becomes our spirit. Our spirit never becomes their spirit. We unite in body and we love one another for the person that that person is that we are married to. It is always surprising and always a joy that we are married to someone who is completely different in spirit than ourselves. But when we come to unite ourselves to God through Jesus Christ, who was born into this world to take on our humanity, our flesh and blood, when we unite ourselves to God the Father through Him, we unite ourselves, first of all, in spirit, by coming to the sacrament of confession, and we cast off any spirit that is foreign to His. That's why we root up all of those sins, those roots, and cast them aside, so that when we leave the sacrament of confession, our spirit and His are in harmony. And we have prepared ourselves. For the most part, we don't even conceive of that as a goal. But that is the preparation for communion. Because when we come to the chalice and we receive the body and blood of Christ, then we become one body with Him. And we are not just one body, as a man and a woman are in a marriage, but one spirit and one body, united to Christ in a way that is closer than the way that any two human beings can unite themselves to one another. And St. Gregory says that if after receiving the body and blood of Christ, if after having united ourselves in spirit and body to God, if we do by our works cast the fact that we have, by uniting ourselves to Christ, become the sons of God. Men and women, male and female, He created them. We are all sons of God. It's not about gender. But if after communion we do works that are not worthy of our sonship, then there is doubt as to whether or not we are children of God. The actions that we do after we receive the body and blood of Christ and unite ourselves to Him in spirit and in body, and have we? And if we haven't, then don't we need to return to confession and cast off those things that separate us? Because Palamas says that we are sons of God by communion through Christ, unless there is some stain within us that prevents the union of our life to His. Because, he says, the perfect and pure body of Christ will not unite itself with someone who is continuing to live in passions and desires and all the time has been holding back, feeling as though at some point maybe God will change me, putting the responsibility for our repentance on God, not accepting our own responsibility to plow our own ground, to prepare our own field, the part that we can do, the part that God cannot and will not do for us, because it would make us into slaves. After communion, we are meant to continue in integrity and oneness with God and share His virtues in the world. That is the life in Christ that we are called to live. That is why God was born into the world, so that we could share His holy life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.